Father God, we worship you. We declare these things. We thank you for what you have done for us and the way that you care for us, that you are our good shepherd, that you lead us beside quiet waters, to green pastures, to restore our soul. Father, as we are gathered here, we thank you for what you are doing, and we want to see and understand more clearly and more deeply. God, we pray that you would speak to us this morning as we turn to your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, our kids, big kids, grade 4, 5, 6, you can head back to your program now. Pastor Rebecca has some amazing things in store for you there. It'll be very fun. Thank you, worship team, for leading us to that place this morning. Wonderful to be able to declare those things together. Well, as we begin, as we turn to God's word this morning, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We're coming to come to the very end of this book, Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start in verse 16 and read something that we call the Great Commission. This commissioning that Jesus gave to his followers and to us as we step into the mission that he's given to us and the purpose that he has for his church in the world. Matthew chapter 28, we'll start in verse 16. I'll read to the end of the chapter here. It says this: Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus taught us how to live. He taught us how to follow. He taught us what his Father was like. He taught us how to worship. He taught us how to forgive and how to love. And then at the end, he taught us what to do with all of that. He taught us to go and teach others, to make disciples, to baptize them, and teach them everything he taught us until he comes back. Are you doing what he told you to do? Jesus is alive, and he has a purpose for you, for all of us. Amen? Amen. Well, this has been an amazing season over this last number of weeks here. Palm Sunday a couple of weeks ago with our amazing potluck time together. How good was that? So good. Oh my goodness. The food was delicious. The fellowship was incredible. It was an incredible time of community and connection, of worshiping and together in relationship. It's such a simple thing, but it is a profound thing that we do together, just sharing a meal together. The body of Christ, his church, his bride, just enjoying a meal together brings so much joy to the Father's heart. It's this simple thing to see his children share life together in a small way, the way he created it to be. It's a special thing. And then last weekend, we came to Easter, to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, walking together through the crucifixion, reading this story once again, being reminded of the true cost of our sin, the profound depth of God's love for us, that he would send his own son to die for us. And the power of God to raise him to life again, conquering sin and death for all eternity, giving us new life, hope, salvation. That we can know eternity with our Creator. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good, and we get to walk with him as we study the teachings of Jesus. We see what it looks like lived out, the things he was talking about walked out through the cross and the grave. Our theme for this whole year has been the Word. And we've been working through trying to understand the power of the Word of God, to see and know and submit ourselves to the authority and the teachings of God, to understand the heart and the nature of God revealed in His Word, spoken to us, given to us about Himself, about the world, about what He has created, how He is at work in the world. We've looked at the different parts of the Bible, the ways that God has spoken to us in the Scriptures, His laws and His promises, worship and praise, history and prophecies of what is to come. All of it pointing to the coming of the Messiah. That in spite of everything we had done, God was not done with us. And someone was going to come to save us. The Son of God, the very Word made flesh in the person of Jesus, come to reveal His Father to us. The fulfillment of all these promises given to us in the Scriptures over so many centuries, that Jesus would reveal the fullness of the love of God, the grace and mercy and justice of God to us through His life and through the things that He taught us. And so for the last couple of months, that's what we've been looking at, the red letter words, the teachings of Jesus, the things that He said to us about life and love, His Father and His kingdom, His creation and mission and new life and the end. And we're coming now to the end of this series and this last of the teachings of Jesus here. The last of His commands to His followers, the call and the work that He has for them and for us to do. The Gospels are such interesting books, and they show such different and unique perspectives on Jesus, all telling us the same story. They agree completely, but they come at who Jesus is from different perspectives and views. The Gospel of Mark, for example, is very abrupt. When you're reading through it, Jesus is immediately doing everything. He's immediately going here. He's immediately going there. There's so much urgency in Jesus' mission in the Gospel of Mark. And Mark is packed full of miracles specifically. It's driven by this clear purpose that Jesus has in His mission. Jesus has one goal, the cross. And Mark kind of ends just as abruptly as the story it tells all the way through. Luke has the pattern and tone more of almost a journalist. He's done his research. He's collected these stories to create an orderly account of Jesus' life. It's an apologetic gospel in the sense it's an argument for the truth of who Jesus is and the reality that Jesus is not just for the Jews but for the Gentiles as well. And that story carries on into the book of Acts and the account of the church to have a record of the life and the ministry of Jesus and His church in the world. The Gospel of John was written a little bit later and in a sense is kind of a spiritual gospel. They're all spiritual. They all capture the spiritual realities. But John is really focused on the reality of who Jesus is as the church began to understand more and more deeply the true reality of who and Jesus, what Jesus really was, what He came to do, that He was God. And that everything that He did was the movement of God in the world, revealing the power and presence of God to us and the spiritual nature of everything that exists and that we are, the nature of our sin and the nature of the restoration that Jesus brings to us. And His gospel ends with this spiritual restoration of Peter, the forgiveness of Peter, forgiveness and relationship, as Jesus prepares Peter and the church to step into the ministry and leadership of the church in the world. Mark tells us about what Jesus did. John tells us about who Jesus was. Luke tells us about Jesus' world. But Matthew tells us a lot about what Jesus taught. Matthew was a Jewish tax collector, and he was interested in the ways Jesus interacted with the law, how his life and his teachings interacted and fulfilled the law that God had given to his people. In Matthew chapter 5, he records this amazing thing that Jesus said. Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until the heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Matthew is telling us what Jesus taught according to the scriptures, how he fulfills the law according to the scriptures, what he has done for us according to the scriptures. And here he closes his gospel with the call of Jesus for us as an extension of the call that God had given to his chosen people the whole time, according to the scriptures. As he concludes his gospel with this command, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." God's mission for his people has always been to share his message, to bring his word to the people around them, to show the world who God is and what he has done for them. By the way they would live, by the way they would worship, by the things they would teach. God didn't choose Abraham and the nation of Israel just to save them. He meant them to be a light, a witness, an example to the world of what life lived in relationship with God looks like, to tell the world who God is, what he has said, and what he is calling us to. And now Jesus is not just saving us. He's not just for me. He has commanded us to carry that mission forward too. In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And that's speaking of the coming of the Messiah, but for God's purpose for that nation the whole time, to reveal his presence to the world around them and be a blessing with the things that they would show the world about who God is. Deuteronomy chapter 4. "Now Israel, hear the decrees and the laws that I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully. Why? For this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" Isaiah 49, "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." God's mission and purpose for his people, his heart for them, is not just about them, it's for all. And when he invites us to his kingdom, to his family, to his nation, to his church, it's not just for us, it's for all. Not that we can stay and lock the doors and hide away, but so that we can go. Jesus didn't choose Israel to be a secret club, a hidden thing away from the world. They were a light to the nations, showing his glory and his power, his nature and his heart. And he gave them his laws that were completely different from the world around them. Things that sounded backwards and upside down. How to treat foreigners and prisoners, women and slaves, things that were counter to the patterns of the world around them. How to worship, how to do business. That everything was God. They weren't supposed to charge interest. They weren't there every 50 years. They were supposed to give everything back to the original owner. Stuff that doesn't make sense according to our world, our way of doing things, to show the whole world that God's way is different. That his values are different, that his heart is different, and we need to align ourselves with him. And now here, all through this gospel, Jesus has given us the same call to go and teach the world who God is, to make disciples as we are disciples, and to teach them all the things that he has taught us. Like the Beatitudes. That the kingdom is backwards and upside down. That God doesn't value the things that we do. And he sees things so differently than we do, sees people so differently. The weak are strong, the mourning will know comfort. Blessed are the merciful and the peacemakers, not the strong and the conqueror. In the Sermon on the Mount, he taught us that his laws are different than our laws, that our righteousness is not enough. It's not just not murdering, it's even hate in our hearts. It's not just not committing adultery, it's even lusting in our hearts. The way we do business, when he talks with the rich young ruler, sell all you have and give to the poor, then come follow me. God doesn't see money the way we do. He knows that our security isn't in things, it's in him. And the only way to true life is to deny ourselves completely, to take up our cross and follow him, to receive his gift of forgiveness and grace and walk in new life. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And his teachings are extensions of everything he had already said to his people, taking us deeper, fulfilling and expanding what he had taught us. Be perfect, he said, therefore, as my heavenly Father, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So just like God's people in the Old Testament, we need to study and know and understand the teachings of God, the teachings of Jesus, so that we can teach others. That we can live in alignment with his commands by the power of his Spirit and the forgiveness and grace of Jesus. And teach others to do the same. They would study and memorize the Torah from birth. Their whole community in Jesus' world and in the world of Israel was centered around it, or was supposed to be. Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and all his commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That is how they were to treat the teachings of God. And Jesus' mission to us, his command to us here is the same. Go into these new lands, into all the world, make disciples, teach them everything. God longs for people to know him, to live in alignment and submission and worship to him. And if we're going to show others who he is, we have to know him first. And so that's what we've been trying to do here. To study and learn and know the teachings of God. To write them on our hearts, to teach them, impress them upon our children. Talk about them when we're sitting at home, when you're driving down the road, to carry them with us. It doesn't just happen in this room on a Sunday morning. It can't just be happening here. We have to each of us dig in on our own to read and know and study the teachings of God. Over this last couple of months, we've just crashed through the Gospel of Matthew for a couple of months to hear what Jesus said, but there is so much more. It was just the beginning, and as much as each gospel is unique, the teachings of Jesus are all through all of them. The things he said, the things he did, the miracles he performed, the parables he told, they all teach us about God. His heart, his nature, his holiness, his commands for us, and we need to know all of it. From Genesis to Revelation, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, for this mission that Jesus has called you to. How many times is this word teaching coming up in these different commands to God's followers? Over and over and over again, all through the Old Testament and the New. Do you know the teachings of God so that you can teach others? This command is not just for some of us. It's for every single follower of Jesus, every single member of his kingdom. And we're going to live that out in different ways. That's the beauty and the power of the gifts of the Spirit and the diversity in the church. Each of us are a unique expression of the image of God with different skills and abilities and gifts. But we are all called to know God's word and to teach it to others, to teach them to obey as we are called to obey. Do you feel it? Do you feel the hunger? Do you feel the call? Are you digging in with our kids, with our men's and women's Bible studies, studying God's word together? Are you in his word every day? Listening to the voice of God speak to your heart, correcting you, aligning you with him, filling your heart and your mind. Your very thoughts become his. The way we see every situation is through God's word, through the truth of the gospel. Are we so filled with his word that it pours out of us at every opportunity to speak hope and life and truth and repentance to the people around us who so desperately need to know that there is a God who loves them and he gave his life for them and he has life for them? An abundant and free and full life lived in line with the word of God. Our world and our own hearts want so badly for truth to be based on our feelings and our opinions. And we have to constantly and consistently come to the Word and deny ourselves, crucify our hearts again every day, and follow Him, line ourselves up with Him. Let Him shape us into the image of Jesus. It's work. It's real effort. But He's promised us as well that His yoke is easy and His burden is light, because the Spirit will help us. And Jesus Himself is with us always to the very end of the age. Next week, we're going to be stepping into our new series, kind of carrying this forward, the Word alive in us. And we're going to explore what this means to not just know these things that Jesus is teaching us, but to let them come to life within us, for His Spirit to bring them to life in us, and what it looks like when He does. But for today, my prayer is that we would all hunger for the Word of God, for the teachings of God, that we would long to know what He thinks, who He is, how He is calling us to live, that we would fill our hearts and our minds with the Word, and that as we do, it would pour out of us, and that we would teach others more and more who Jesus is, what He's done for us, and what He's done for them. Are you making disciples? Are you teaching others everything that Jesus has taught you? Do you know what Jesus has said? This morning, we're going to celebrate communion together. We're coming out of our celebration of Easter, just this last week, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We'll invite the team to come on up and get ready for us here, and we're coming to this mission that He has laid before us. Because of what He has done, that in His blood shed for us and His body broken for us, He paid the price of our sin. And that means that everything He said, everything He did is real and true. When He was raised to new life, God revealed to us the truth of everything that Jesus taught us, and what He is calling us to know and understand of what He has said. Jesus wants to live in us, and by His strength and His Spirit, we can live all these things that He's taught us, that perfection that He calls us to is not earned, it is given. We can live according to His Word by His Spirit and teach others to do the same. We will still fail. We still falter, and every day we need to come and ask for that grace again, that He can lead us and show us who He is and what He has done, that we can walk in life. If you are newer with us here, you can see that we have a number of stations set up around the room, and we'll invite you as the team plays for us here. You can make your way to the cross and take the elements. We invite you to come as a family, with friends. Communion is a communal thing. But if God has some work that He wants to do in your heart as an individual, you're welcome to come as an individual as well. That's just fine. But come together if you can and take those elements, take them back to your seats, pray together. Invite God to fill you with a hunger for His teachings, that we would know His Word, and celebrate together that by the power of the cross, the Spirit can live in us and help us to live the truths and the teachings that Jesus has given to us in a way that we cannot on our own. In a moment, the team's going to play for us here. You can come as you feel led. If you're not able to make it to one of the crosses, one of our elders, Jason, would love to bring the elements to you. He'll be milling around. You can just flag him down. He'd love to bring the elements to you. But let the Spirit fill you with that hunger for the teachings of God, that we would know them, that we can teach them. The world needs to know what Jesus has done, who He is. Not all of us are comfortable with this. Not all of us are ready for this. But Jesus is calling you to be a part of what He is doing, to listen and hear and obey when He invites you to speak. We want to show the world by our lives, but we need to speak the words of truth of who Jesus is as well, in boldness, with humility, to show them that God loves them, that he died for them and rose again, and they can be forgiven, that they can know what it looks like to live life in line with God's word. Let's pray together as we come to the crosses this morning. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for the gift of the cross. We thank you that Jesus was willing to be born, to live with us here, to show us what life was meant to be, what life lived in line with you looks like. We thank you for the things that he taught us. And as we've been studying them, God, it has been amazing to see the truth and the beauty, the power of your word. And by the sacrifice of Jesus, that word lives in us. By your spirit, God, that word comes to life in us. And God, we are excited to see where you're going to lead us in those things. But this morning, as we come to the crosses, we want to lay our lives down again. We want to say, God, you are in control. We need your forgiveness. You are perfect and holy. We want to live in line with your word. We want to live in line with the power of your word. Speak to us and show us, God, where we have held back, those places where we are holding on to our own understanding. Shape and mold our hearts and our minds into the image of Jesus, that we can know you like he knows you, that we can live like he lived, and we can teach like he taught. Speak to us now as we come together in Jesus' name. Amen. You can come as you feel led.